world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So I'm looking for something here this morning, as if we needed to hear this. Vaxxed men who have been vaxxed are coming up infertile. You know, I was looking for it right now. I thought I had it in my stuff today, but now I can't find it. That men who've received the vaccine, they're finding it's killing sperm. They're coming up infertile. See, until we understand and realize the depth of the battle against human beings, which are made in the image of God, until the church comes to the realization of how real and how dangerous this battle is, we're not going to be successful. I hope for evacuation, but that's how seriously we take it. Remember, the Bible says it's the seed of the serpent, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. So if the devil can stop the seed, you ever heard of abortion? Have you ever heard of that? If he can stop the seed, and see, the church, you know me, I always say, I don't want to beat up on the church this morning. Hey, the church just thinks it's a woman's choice. It's just a woman's choice. We don't understand how deadly abortion is to the seed of the woman. We don't get it. I don't want to get bogged down on that. Good morning. Good morning. I'm actually in a pretty good mood. Kimberly's here. Say who? Yeah, Kimberly is here. She drove in from, who knows? She's been heading this way for about 4 days from Maine. We'll try to get
her.
Good
morning, everyone.
Yeah, she's out in a camper outside our house. So we're going to try to get her on here tomorrow and give her a little bit of time. What's the name of your ministry, Kimberly? I wrote it down, but I can't find it. What's the name of your ministry, Kimberly?
Well, I am the conservative mama bear.
And really she's traveling America with her 19-year-old Down syndrome daughter and raising Cain. That's what you're doing, right, Kimberly?
I'm speaking truth, and I'm advocating for life, truth, and beauty, and for people to repent, especially Christians, obviously. And we minister to people along the way. We advocate for homeschooling. We advocate for the family, parental rights, and so many other things.
So she'll be on here tomorrow to talk about some of that stuff, folks. And she, again, she's right outside that wall out there.
Thanks, Coach.
In her camper. Sure, Kim. I appreciate it. Hey, listen, I got pull up the first thing says the chicks. I just got invited yesterday, this weekend, to a Fear Not conference to speak. Fear Not conference in Cincinnati. Put on by the resistance chicks. Now, I know it's short notice. Hey, it's short notice for me as well. But maybe you can put that in the chat so those of you in that Cincinnati area would like to be able to go. Friday, November 1st, Saturday, November 2nd. Is it November already? Holy smokes. Well, so that's it. Down in Cincinnati, Neil Peterson will be there with the chicks, and they invited me at the last minute. So stick that in there. It's always good to gather together, right? Church, all the directions, all that stuff is there. Thank you. Put that in there for me. Man, hey, folks, you guys have been missing our prayer vigils at 8 o'clock at night. I'm getting so blessed by them. So the Bible says that whether for two or more gatherings in the midst, right? And that if any two touch one thing, agree, any two people agree touching any one thing, it shall be done unto them. And we spent about 40 minutes interceding again last night. It's so simple. We'd love to have you come in. Can I say something that's going to sound mean, although it doesn't sound mean. The average Christian man, maybe in his life, has never prayed publicly. Would somebody say amen? Somebody say amen. The average Christian man has probably never in his life prayed publicly.
Amen.
They don't know how. Huh? Yeah. And so one of the things that happens in our prayer vigil is men pray. What? Yeah. Sometimes they write them out. Sometimes they read a scripture and write it out. Come on. Come on in. Get your feet wet. And you know, there's a real anointing on it. After it's over, there's just a thing. Man, Lord, that was 45 good minutes I just spent there. So we're doing it again tonight. We're going to do it for the next several nights at 8 o'clock. Ray LeBlanc's guy kind of kicked that thing off for us. We would love you to come and be part of it. Okay? What is that thing? I don't need to pull that up there. Okay. I'm looking. Boy, I got a lot going on. Vaxxed men are coming up infertile. And then can I say this one? Tom Brady, the quarterback, Tom Brady, and Michelle Bunchkin, whatever her name is. She's pregnant by some other guy now. Of course, they got a divorce. They got a divorce, and she started dating this other guy. Now she's pregnant out of wedlock, and everybody's celebrating. Everybody's celebrating that she's now pregnant out of wedlock. I wonder how she's going to explain that to her kids. How do you explain that to your children? I wonder. She's not married. Oh well, Coach, quit nibbling. Okay, so hang on. Oh, I got so much I want to talk about. But I want to give you a brief overview of yesterday when I went to Thomas Worthington High School. Two classes, seniors, probably close to 100 kids, and maybe not quite 100, two classes. And folks, there are two things going on simultaneously. Number one, there is an awakening in our young children. These are 17-year-olds. I've seen it gradually over the last few years. There's a real awakening to a pushback of all this malarkey they've been taught. But they don't understand the argument. They can't make the argument. They know something is wrong, but they can't make the argument. And they've been programmed and trained. And I always get up on the board and I write up, I'll show you all how I do it. I write up indoctrination on the board, indoctrination. And then I break it down into syllables, indoctrination. English, it's an English class, right? It's not an English class, but it is. So I said, okay, schools are not about education. They're about indoctrination. Because if it was education, you would know about Jesus, you would know about all this stuff, but they clearly are not allowing you to know about Jesus, and so they're indoctrinating you with other stuff. Now ask them, what's indoctrination? Break the word down. I wish I had a chalkboard here to show you how I do it. So I cut it out, I-N-D-O-C-T-R-I-N, space, A, you guys don't know how to break down words and syllables, right? Indoctrination. And I said, what does the word in mean? In. The prefix in. Anybody out there know? Anybody out there know what the prefix in means? I'm asking you guys. Anybody know? I-N at the beginning of a word means what? To put into. Inject. Invest. Invade. So in means to put into. Now, I said, what's a doctrine? Anybody know what a doctrine is? Does your church have a doctrine? And finally, some kid read, a set of beliefs? Yeah, a set of beliefs. So when you come to school, they are not teaching you. They are indoctrinating you. They are putting a set of beliefs in you. And the question that we have to ask ourselves here, students, is the doctrine they're putting in you, the same doctrine your parents are trying to put into you. And some kid raises his hand and says, well, indoctrination could be a good thing. I said, yeah, it could be a good thing. I indoctrinated all my kids. All of them are indoctrinated. Some of them it took, some of them it didn't take. Because why? They went to college and they got indoctrinated with a different doctrine. and said, you think you're sitting in this classroom and this teacher is teaching you, this teacher is indoctrinating you. Not only is the teacher indoctrinating you, they're making sure that there's a specific doctrine that you don't ever hear about. And I'm here today to show you that doctrine. It's powerful, folks, powerful. Because these guys ain't dummies. They're just indoctrinated. So I said, can anybody in here tell me something that's true? I'll take you through. It's important. Stay with me. Can anybody tell me something that's true? And they kind of look at each other and, I mean, they don't really know what to say. Really, they really don't know what to say. And so I start out and say, well, how about this? Let me help you. Are you here? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're here. Is that true? Yeah. Okay, that's true. Why is it true? Well, because it's observable and provable. Okay, I'm here. Do you know anything that's true? And they started to rattle off some stupid stuff. You know, I have parents and I'm a senior. Okay. So there is a such a thing as truth, right? There is a such thing as truth. But who determines for you what's true? How do you get to determine what's true? How do we come to that process? Well, they're struggling a little bit there because they don't know. They just know what they've been taught. And we know what they've been taught. So here's the kicker. I'm going to get this and I'll get it out of me because it is, wow. I said, anybody know the Ten Commandments? Hey, Spencer, see if you can find that for me. Number one, God's protected, the Big Ten. Big Ten. I don't put it on the board, by the way. Scroll down a minute. Keep going. Right there. Okay, I say, anybody know the Ten Commandments? You know the answer, right? Nobody knows the Ten Commandments. By the way, nobody knows the Bill of Rights. Nobody knows the First Amendment to the Constitution. Nobody in the class. These kids are high cultured kids who are all probably going to college, and none of them knew the First Amendment to the Constitution. None of them. What are we teaching in school? What the hell are we paying our money for? Anyway, stay with me. So I said, how many think that the Ten Commandments should be posted in our schools? Well, they don't want that because they've been indoctrinated. There's a separation between the church and the state. I said, look, the Ten Commandments were put in place by God so that we could live together peaceably. We could live. God's laws are protective. Now, let me show you something I said to them. The first four commandments all have to do with our relationship with God. All of them do. You shall have no other gods before me. It's up on the screen. Don't make any idols. Not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember Sabbath day, keep it holy. I said, that's for religious observation, but it's all protective. And I'm going to show you right now. So then I say the second tablet has the next six tablets, and they all have to do with our relationship with one another. That God loved us so much. And he set up a system so that all of us, no matter how we believe, what we feel, are able to live together. And then I threw up the next five. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Okay, so I said, let me ask you something here. Does anybody think you shouldn't follow one of those? How many of you think, go to number five. How many of you think you should honor your father and mother? They raise their hand. Yeah. How many of you think you shouldn't murder? Oh, they raise their hand. How many of you think you shouldn't commit adultery? They don't know what adultery is. I'll get to that in a second. How many think you shouldn't steal? How many of you think, do you have to be a Christian? Can a Muslim not steal? Is that something we ought to teach everybody in here? Nobody steals, huh? Nobody bears fault with, thou shalt not lie. I said, no. You got to remember God's laws are protective. And the Fifth Amendment doesn't say thou shalt not lie. It says thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. If my wife comes walking down the steps tonight and we're going to go out to eat, and my wife says to me, honey, how do I look? Everybody been in that situation? Do I say, oh, honey, that makes you look fat? Knowing that if I say that to her, she's going to get upset and go and change her clothes. We'll be late 20 more minutes, right? Or I say to her, yeah, honey, you look great, knowing she looks fat. What do you do in a situation like that? That led us into what they call situational ethics. And I said, look, you can get away from situational ethics, that meaning truth changes based on the situation you find yourself in. Situational, this is so simple. God's laws are protective. They are not punishing. They are ways that we are supposed to live together. Does everybody in here think it ought to be a law in America that you can't murder? Well, of course they all think that, except they don't know what murder is. That's something else. I said, how about adultery? Well, they don't even know what adultery is. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, look up adulterated. I wish your children could be adulterate. That's it. Corrupted. Huh? I said, listen, you better understand this. Every time you crawl in the back seat with your boyfriend, you have sex with him, you are adulterated. You are corrupted. And the Lord said, don't do that. Don't commit adultery. It isn't about being married and not cheating on your spouse. Of course you don't do that. But when you sleep around and you get married, you're selling your husband a used car. God said, don't do that, man. Don't do that. Why? Because God's loves and God's laws are protective. Oh, and by the way, you know what happens when men and women commit adultery, sex outside the bonds of marriage? Why? It leads to murder. What? Yeah. A girl gets pregnant and she murders her baby. And if you'd have kept your legs together, yes, I said that. If you'd kept your legs together, you wouldn't have had to murder a baby. And now we live in a culture and a society where we're making excuses why it's okay to murder a baby. Rape, incest, all that stuff. Ain't none of that. Ain't none of that crap. So let me ask you a question. Do you think there's any baby in the womb that doesn't want to live? No matter who its daddy was, no matter how it was conceived, do you think every baby in the womb would like to be born? Well, they won't answer it, see, because they know. You understand? I'm going to get off of this in a minute. I'm telling you, friends, this message needs to be delivered in every church in America, to be honest with you, to every high school child in America, to understand that the restraints of the Ten Commandments are not to keep you from having fun. It's to protect your neighbor, protect you. And they said, well, coach, what about thou shalt not lie? And then I told them what bare false witness was. I said, you know what? As crazy as this sounds, if a guy breaks into my house tonight, and he's got a knife between his teeth and his gun, and he says, where's your wife? How many think I'm going to tell him where my wife is? Even though I know where she is. I'm going to say, I don't know where she is. By the way, that would be a lie. But it wouldn't be bearing false witness against my neighbor. My lie would be protective of my wife. In fact, if I told him where she was, Michelle would look at me and say, well, where'd you tell him? God's laws are protective. Boy, I'm telling you, I left there scratching my own head thinking, Lord, have we ever missed it? And ask yourself this. We want the Ten Commandments in school. Do your own kids? Could your own kids recite the Ten Commandments? And could they all recite the fact that these? I asked a Muslim in there. He told me he was a Muslim, Islamic, really nice guy. I said, can you follow these? Can Muslims follow these? Don't steal, don't kill, don't bear false witness. Can you guys follow those? Could we all live together if everybody followed those? And everybody in the class agrees until you get to abortion. So I had this one kid. I got to show. Is it up here? Yeah. Because does anybody out there? I've been on 20 minutes. Anybody out there? Can you tell me the mainstream lie for why abortion is legal. What is the excuse that they use? Hang on a second. What's the excuse they use to say we need to have abortion? Anybody know what they are?
My body, my choice.
Well, that one, my body, my choice.
And it's a club that sells.
Pardon me?
It's health care.
Yeah, health. Yeah. But look, I'm going to make it easier. Rape and incest. I said, okay, cool. All right, let's go there. If you were conceived by rape in your mother's womb, would you want to be killed? Then they say, well, they can't think. They can't think. They're just blobs of tissue. I said, oh, so you're violating the commandment, thou shalt not murder. You got murder in your heart. Every baby would like to be alive. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Why would you not give birth to a baby? You'd rather kill it than adopt it out. Because what? You might have had a bad memory about it, or you can't go to college, or you can't afford it. And there, you're doing the exact same thing to unborn babies that they did to the Jews. Didn't Adolf Hitler say the Jews were not human? He didn't call them blobs of tissue, but they were subhuman, weren't they? And by the way, didn't it take a whole race of people with black skin and put them as slavery because they said they're not human? They're just a little bit above the monkeys. And here you guys sit in 2024, and we can go inside a mother and do surgery on a baby in a womb, and you're using the same argument they used against the Jews and against the blacks, saying it's not a human being. Because if you say it's not a human being, you can do anything you want to it. But let's get real here. Your body, your choice. Huh? How many of you in here, I'm asking them, had a mother? Well, everybody raises their hands, right? Yeah, we all did. Okay, where is she? And look at me. Right now, where's your mom? Well, she's at work. So, I thought it was her body. I thought you were her body. At what point do you not become her body? At what point do you get to be your own body? Folks, they're flummoxed. But see, those arguments aren't even able to meet. So I got up on the screen, some cocky guy in the back. He wanted to murder babies. He was real righteous, and he wanted to murder babies. So what about the life of a mother? What about the life of a mother? I said, oh, isn't that awesome? God covers everything, right? God covers everything. God said, greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. And I can tell you this right now. If my wife, because we follow the Ten Commandments, if my wife were to get pregnant, I'm sorry, if my wife were going to go give birth and it was either her life or the baby's life, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no doubt what my wife would do. She would lay down her life for her friends. Our daughters are fully grown right now, and my wife would still lay down her life for his children. That's natural. So this loudmouth said, oh, yeah, well, I said, well, first of all, it's never, never, ever, ever, ever in America's society, you have to kill the baby to save the mother's life. Not true. Oh, he didn't believe it. So I said, here's what I'm going to do, dude. I'm going to send you an email. He gave me his email. I'm going to send you an email, and you're going to stand up in front of this class tomorrow, and you're going to say to everyone in this class, I was wrong, Coach Dave was right. And I sent it to him. We'll see what happens. 30,000 doctors say abortion is never medically necessary to save a mother's life. Boom! Let's stop letting them use that argument.
Amen.
And then when the woman gets raped, say, why do you kill the baby rather than the rapist?
Boom. See,
the whole
right.
Oh, I'm telling you, it was electric in that room. But values clarification and situational ethics. They like to apply rules to others, but not to themselves. Yeah. So I said, do you want to make sure you don't get pregnant? Keep your pants on. Stay out of the back seat with your boyfriend. And you won't have to kill anybody. Vinny, that'd be a boom.
Boom.
Think anybody hears that? They don't hear that. You think you hear that in church? You guys ever, have you ever heard anything in church like you just heard in the last 25 minutes? Have you ever heard anything like that in church? Do you think the average Christian can defend life? I don't think so. Laura Ann, come on in.
Coach, you said something very profound. Well, all of it was very profound. But the one thing that was like very profound that like struck my heart, you said, you know, you committed murder in your heart. And that's like something that's not even thought of at all with that, that even ties in. Because it's the doctor's doing that, it's the transforming and the renewal of your mind, and with that gives birth to life. And when your mind sits there and says, "Hey, I'm going to do this," so now that just points to the Sermon on the Mount. You know, where if you and then you can bring in all the other things. Well, if you lust after a woman, you know, now you're lusting after. Now you're lusting. You know, now you're breaking every single one of them.
Why is lust a problem? Why is lust a problem? Because when lust hath conceived, in other words, lust creates babies.
100.
And it's awful that we would think that the lust would create a baby, and that baby is a criminal. Wow, we're sick, aren't we? We're a sick people. We've let them get away from it because there is no such thing as absolutes anymore. And no such thing. Is it ever okay to abort a baby? Ever. Is it, in God's eyes, is it ever okay to abort a baby? In the baby's eyes, is it ever okay to abort a baby? It's never okay. Is it ever okay to murder? Well, no, it's never okay to murder. Well, why do you murder a baby? Oh, because it's not alive. It's not sentient. I didn't want it. All these lies that ain't got nothing. If I went into a court of law and I'd shot somebody, murder one, which I had to explain that to him too. And I shot some guy, murder one. And I went before the judge and the judge said, "Why'd you do it?" And I said, "I didn't like him, Your Honor." "Huh? Yeah, he was messing up my life." "Yeah, really? Yeah, I wanted to go to college, but he kept preventing me from going to college." And yeah, right? That excuse would never hold up in a court of law anywhere, and yet it's the entire basis of the pro-murder network. Pro-basis. I can murder. It's all right. I said, what is first-degree murder? Anybody know what first-degree murder is? Well, they didn't know. Of course, they didn't know. I said, okay, first-degree murder is the premeditated, you planned it, killing. It was alive, of an innocent human being. It's innocent. Premeditated killing of an innocent human being. Tell me why abortion's not murder. Oh, I know why. It can't think yet. It's not sentient. It's unbelievable. The church is so weak on these very foundational, obvious, fundamental issues. The average person can't even defend them. Adam, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Part of this is because the mass population has been brainwashed into this pseudoscience that tells them, you know, that the babies are a clump of cells. But
indoctrinated. Indoctrinated.
Amen. Yeah. So I think we need to start telling people the facts that no, what it is the blood sacrifice to the devil.
So Adam, why do pastors let that be taught in their schools?
Because they're cowards.
So who's the solution to that being taught in our schools?
Pastor.
And what's our solution? Pull them out. We have to pull them out. Well, hell, you're paying to indoctrinate somebody else's kid. Are you your brother's keeper, pastor? Huh? You won't stand up and say, "We're not going to teach our children lies. We're not going to do it anymore. We're not going to pay for it anymore." What if all the church did that? Yeah. Yeah. We'll just pull them out. We'll homeschool them. Well. We homeschool. Glad we do. Why do we homeschool? Because of the indoctrination that's taking place in the public school. It isn't even the truth. We don't say anything about it. Angie.
Good morning.
Morning.
You are
gosh, you're just on fire with all this. I sit there and I think about these kids when they go in and they don't get to hear that kind of truth hardly ever unless Coach Dave goes in and preaches it. And one of the things I think is just so hard to get through to these kids who literally are being indoctrinated by these systems is that the basic human growth and development is not being taught in schools. When I went to Columbus State Community College, I had to take a class for nursing. It was called Human Growth and Development. And we learned in that class that that baby is a baby. we learned these things, right? And it's just, it's a huge miscarriage of justice when we don't give these kids the scientific truth and fact, and we wrap it all up in emotions and, you know, the rape argument. Yeah, the rape argument and all this other stuff. And I'm going to tell you, as a pediatric neonatal nurse that I devoted my life to for 30-some years, my witness and testimony to what a fetus is, because I've held hundreds of them, okay? My witness on that is so powerful. People hate it because I will tell them, listen, I don't know how many 17-weekers you've held, but I've held one. I don't know how many 18, 19, or 20-weekers you've held, but I've held several of those. And I've held dozens of 21, 22, 23-weekers, hundreds of 24-weekers. These are not a blob of tissue, and every one of them has a right to fight for their life. When they come out, they're trying to breathe and they're trying to live.
You missed something, Angie. You missed something. We have to fight for their life. We have to fight for their life.
Yes. Yeah, but they don't pop out and just give up. They come out and they're fighting.
Let me take it another step further. You get a baby and you take the baby home. Is the baby sentient at 3 months?
Absolutely.
Can it think? At what point is the baby aware of life and death? Have any understanding to it at all? Right?
Well, one of the things, Coach, I think we need to do is we need to stop using the narrative. See, they try to box us in on when life begins.
We use their language.
Yeah, they box us in on their language. Well, when does life begin? And my answer to that is life does not begin at conception. Life continues with conception.
Angie, okay? I told them yesterday, the woman has an egg and the egg is alive. And the man has a sperm and the sperm is alive. That life doesn't begin at conception. Life was before conception.
It continues. Yeah. We can never answer when life began, right? That's a very broad conversation. But when we
Angie. It breathed when it began, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's when life began.
Of course.
It's been a continuous continuum.
Boom.
Boom.
Yes, of course. But I'll tell you, when you start hitting them with that and don't allow them to define when life begins with the whole in utero thing, and you have to get them to understand the continuation, that's when we start winning hearts.
The pastors cannot make the argument I just made. Thanks, Angie. Mary Beth.
Just a few points. Angie very articulately
stated. Thank you, Angie. It was very, very well done, Angie. Thank you.
Yep. My granddaughter Vera was born at 30 weeks, and she was 10 weeks early, and she's four
now. Just a blob of tissue. What are you talking about?
She's just a blob of tissue. She's a beautiful blob, though, let me tell you. Yeah. Anyway, her name is Vera, and she's just catching up at four. I mean, you know, size-wise and all that. And that was during COVID, so of course, I couldn't go and visit.
Hang on. So size matters, huh? Size matters? That sounds like a sexual statement to me.
Right. But then also I wanted to say, you know, you've probably seen those videos where they get the baby out in the amniotic sac and the baby's outside the womb.
Well, of course, we saw that. That's my point. How are we letting them indoctrinate our children in lies? How are the pastors doing it? Sorry, I'm moving on. Thank you, Mary Beth. Roger.
Well, back to the school thing quickly. I don't quite share your philosophy. We need to get in there and save them. And I'm not saying I'm right, but I just think you got to get your kids out of school. Yep. Please tell me one thing in the government school system that is being taught that undergirds your faith.
Amen, Roger.
Now, I do believe each parent makes that decision. I'm not being harsh on anybody that chooses to keep their child in the government school. However, tell me one thing that's going on in that school that undergirds that. And the sexual
revolution going on,
and the sexual revolution that's going on in the schools in the seventh and eighth grade and up, is tied right into all of this abortion. It's, you know, the kids are getting pregnant, they're going out having abortions, and the circle continues. So
he calls Roger, Satan wants the seed of the woman. Folks, yes, come on. Wow, thanks, Roger. Kim, come on in. Well, you're out there, but come on in.
Life starts way before conception because God knew you before.
He formed you in the womb.
Exactly. Well,
so hang on, Kim. Kim, hang on a second. That's why I had to explain to him body, soul, and spirit. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
And I don't understand why there's so many Christians with their children still in schools. I'm still just struggling to wrap my mind around this one.
It's financial.
And well, but then where's our trust in God to just make a giant leap of faith?
Well, now wait a minute, Kimberly. Where's our pastors fighting for the people so the tax dollars follow the kids in Christian school? Where are they?
Boom. Yeah. I don't know. And then we have to look at this as a ministry of getting all the other kids unindoctrinated. Okay. We've got to reach out to them as well somehow. And I don't know how, I guess starting with their parents. And this is where the church has also lacked. We think it's only appropriate to be a missionary and go to some other foreign country. No, our country needs missionaries right here.
Amen. So let me ask you a question, folks. Those of you who can think logically, what is the opposite of death? Why, Coach, that would be life. Right. So the Christian community who are fighting for the preborn are called pro-lifers. But what's the devil's team called? Pro-deathers? Oh, no. Pro-choice. But choice equals death. We don't even make them use the words. In fact, we use their words. When some politician stands in front of you, tells you he's pro-choice, he's pro-death for unborn children. Why don't we use those words? Why don't we use those words? Sorry, Cam, I'll get you in there tomorrow. Hey, Eileen, go. Hey, hang on. Say, Coach, I ain't never heard anything like this. Some of you ain't never heard anything like this. You go to church. Go, Eileen.
Good morning, Coach. I was at the school board meeting last night, and the Allisons and I have been at these meetings over the past year to talk to them about displaying the Ten Commandments. Well, they finally sent me a letter saying that it was against their policy. So then they gave me a dissertation on the Lemon Law. But I said, okay, we'll get back to that, because what's really concerning right now is the fact that Governor Whitmer has signed a law that allows these school administrators to refer a 14-year-old girl for an abortion without the knowledge or consent of the parents.
How wicked is that, Eileen?
I thought about myself at 14. I mean, I couldn't even make a decision. I was so messed up, hormones, you know, trying to figure out what life was about. So I said, what's going to be your policy on that? And number two, I read them a letter from the principal about a alleged bomb threat. And it was a word salad, like Kamala would write. We investigated this. This was there's no concern. There's no danger to the children. Please. And I'm like, parents want to know who investigated it. What was the facts? Well, and they mentioned this person, this boy who has been suspended before, was looking at a computer trying to find out how to bring a bomb into the school.
Yeah, it's all BS.
Exactly. And so I said, what's your policy on that? So we got to keep going.
Look, folks, it's the total complete indoctrination centers, and they're not indoctrinating them with what you and I believe and we pay for. Let's see. Jeff hadn't been in. Go, Jeff.
Coach, just a comment about the rest of the kids in the school.
God.
You know, the Pastor Matt Torella spoke before on pietism. Just me and the Lord, just on my relationship with the Lord. So do we look at it as, well, it's just me and my relationship with the Lord. I'm just going to get my own kids out.
Are your brother's keeper, Jeff? Are you your brother's keeper?
The heck with the other kids. Well, there's a lot of good kids in that school. They're innocent lives being in there being destroyed.
Are you kidding me?
If the building was on fire, we'd go in and rescue them. Well, it's on fire. I talked to a school teacher yesterday. She was there. We got onto some hot topics, and I found out she was a school teacher, and she was kind of being aggressive about it, because I told her the pastors don't win in school board meetings. Parents don't care. And then she was like, oh, I care. And she was doing, I listened to her. She's trying in there to schools to reach them kids, doing the best she can. But she basically was saying, I need some help. So then she started talking to me more. So I told her, I said, and she had her 14-year-old boy with her. I said, well, listen, I know what it is. You're afraid of losing your job, your home, your paycheck. I said, so when it comes down to the crucial things in that school, come right back here to this car lot and let me know. I said, I'll run it up the flagpole. You just let me. And she thanked me. She said, we'll talk more. I said, all right, cool. But we got to reach them other kids. Can't leave them.
So, Jeff, I was in there yesterday, and I see her face. I know one of the girls sitting there had killed her baby. And I know how horrible it was for her to sit there and listen to what I was saying. I wanted to hug her. It was all over her face. And all I could think of, she's probably saying to herself, why didn't somebody tell me? Why didn't somebody tell me?
Hey, Coach, it's like that 14-year-old girl in the square two Saturdays ago. She wanted to commit suicide. And I stood there and hugged her for 20 minutes and talked to her, just my arm around her. And she ended up smiling because somebody cared about her.
Truth sounds like hate. To those who hate the truth, put down on a board yesterday to get started. I'm going to tell you the truth and it ain't going to feel good. Huh? I'm going to tell you the truth and it ain't going to feel good. Where am I? Jack.
Yeah, the elephant in the room that makes me crazy is they're talking about taking a young kid, 14 years old, out and having an abortion. I want to know who impregnated that child. That's a crime. The real crime goes right past. Nobody even talks about it.
No, they don't care about that because they didn't even understand what adultery was. The average Chris, by the way, most of you probably couldn't explain it either. Let's be honest. We thought adultery was sex outside of marriage. Well, sex when you're married, sex outside of marriage. No. Sex is adultery when it's outside the marriage bond, period. And every person watching this show who's had sex with somebody they weren't married to is an adulterer. Sorry. What does adultery lead to? Destruction of families, divorce, abortion. God's laws are protective. No adultery, no divorce, maybe. No divorce, no destroyed family, maybe. Why is this so hard for us as Christians to explain? Does the school want kids getting abortions? Is that what they want? I would say no, they don't want kids getting abortions. But there's no morality taught. Nothing's right, nothing's wrong, other than judging and hating and bigoting. Those are wrong. But there ain't nothing wrong. If it feels good, do it. The church won't even speak out against it. Mary Beth.
Second, I just wanted to say something about when you talked about that guy that was up for first degree murder, and Wouldn't it have been funny if he went before the judge and said to the judge, you know, my body, my choice, after he killed the guy, right? Yeah, I just thought that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I did defend. Well, yeah, it's my body. I was afraid he was going to hurt. Well, that's self-defense. That's not murder. Self-defense. Murder is just coming in here with a gun popping me in the head. Which, by the way, you just hire a doctor to do it and call it abortion. Same difference. Baby's alive and you kill it. And by the way, I took a poll. I told them. I took a poll. I haven't found one baby that wanted to be aborted. I haven't found not one. Not one. Not one. Lauren.
Just a couple points. They should actually have to watch these kids since they want to push this agenda. Watch them, watch the procedures of every type of abortion. Because, you know, they should have to do that. Second of all, they're not doing this because the doctors would be charged, because this is premeditated murder. So then the doctors, the nurses, the counselors will all be charged as accessories.
The one who drove them? The one who drove them?
Yeah,
to the abortion.
They're all accessories, right? Yep. To they're all, and it's premeditated, right? Because it's no different than a bank robbery, right?
Right.
And where somebody dies, it's the same. It's the absolute same thing. And I think
what Kim happened to
and
what
John
happened
can
to,
even wait. And even my third point is even Kim and John can even talk about what's even more disgusting about all this. These are all sacrifices to Baal.
Mm-hmm. What about informed consent? What about informed consent? What if we had a rule that before you could kill your baby, you had to speak to your pastor and your parents? I wonder how many abortions are done without the parents knowing. And then the kids messed up and nobody can figure out why. Dale.
Well, Coach, let's just bring a little spiritual to us who have a little bit of discernment. Remember when Jesus took his disciples up there in Caesarea Philippi, he specifically took them to a geographical place, right, up on that mountain, which was Pan. They believe that was an open porthole, but the actual landmass before it was called Caesarea Philippi, it was called Ben Hinnom. And this was the place that they built their altars to Molech, and this is where they would sacrifice their children. Jesus is very specific when he said, and on this rock will I build my church, and the gates, he was calling it exactly what it is. This is the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
He showed up at the abortion clinic?
He sure did, Coach. He showed, because this right here is the highest violation. You can stack up all your sins, but when you are destroying the image bearer of God, this is the gates of hell.
Be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the deepest part of the ocean.
This is the only passage of scripture where he scolds his own disciples was that one right there.
Yeah. Dale, somewhere in the scripture, and I'm not going to quote it exactly. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I never thought in my mind.
Jeremiah chapter 33, Coach, Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah chapter 7. God, who knows everything, said of this wickedness, never entered my mind.
Never
this abomination.
Entered my mind that people would murder their offspring. Eileen.
A couple things. Number one, I sent out a video this week that I saw on TikTok about a woman who had an abortion. And I know friends of mine who had abortions 30, 40, 50 years ago, and they're still suffering.
Sure.
And she explained that the Moloch spirit is still in them because of that action, and that it has to be a spiritual cleansing.
Amen.
And not just mental or physical. That number two, there is the Constitutional Party presidential and vice presidential candidate have put out ads about aborted babies on mainstream media, even on The View, because they cannot discriminate when it's political ads. So I don't know if you've seen them. And finally, the good news is, I was telling my husband, less than 1% of married couples divorce if they pray together every day.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We've so lied. We have so permitted the father of lies to enter into the hearts of our children. God help us. God help us. Kim.
Okay, two things. So a lot of people also don't understand that the consequences go far beyond in the spiritual realm, but there's so many natural consequences. Your risk of having breast cancer go up exponentially.
Because the wages of sin is death, right?
Yep. So there's a lot of ramifications to the woman's body. So it's actually more detrimental to the woman's body than if they would have just gone ahead and had the birth. The second thing is, we do need to make sure, though, like the girl that you knew, it was all over her face that she had had an abortion.
Yeah.
Do we preach to people that there is forgiveness? I mean, ultimately, there is, if they repent and if they reach out to Jesus, there is forgiveness. And I know this personally. I am someone who's had an abortion. We need to make sure that we address that and minister to those young girls because they were indoctrinated.
So Kim, I forgot to tell you guys this. In the second class, remember we had two of them, 50 minutes apiece. With about 5 or 6 minutes to go in the second class, some young girl sitting over next to the chalkboard raised her hand, and she says, "What does it mean to be born again?" I'm getting goosebumps. And I got to explain that. She wanted to be born again.
Glory.
She didn't know what it meant. She'd heard about it. She probably went to church. She didn't know what it meant. Then I got to get into that your three parts. You are a spirit who lives in a body. You possess a soul, yada, yada, yada. When you die, the body goes into the grave, into the casket. The life goes back to God, and the soul goes someplace. And if you're born again, then you're born of the Spirit of God. And wherever your soul goes, your spirit is covered because you've been born again. You're free from the punishment of sin. Oh, man. I told him, I said, I wish I had a week. Come on in, Adam.
Hey, Coach. I wonder if these pastors really and truly believe that they're going to be held to a higher standard when they stand before the Lord. Because that's a scary thought. Yeah. To not teach these truths and then to stand before him someday.
Hey, let me stop here a second because Dale's in here. I don't know if Pastor Clint's in here. I don't know. Hey, Dale. Do you think the average, well, not in your fellowship, do you think in the average church, the average pastor can explain the pro-life argument the way I just did?
Absolutely not, Coach. Because I typed in here, many in the church are in witchcraft by manipulating because they themselves don't want children.
Or Dale, how about those women who are burdened by the fact they had an abortion and they're not going to speak up because they understand the situation the girl was in rather than rescuing the girl, making sure she doesn't do it, they hide their own sin.
A man who covers his sin will never prosper.
Oh, my. This is so serious. Jeff Nell, come on in, Jeff.
Yeah, when I preach at the university and stuff this way, I come across students who used to be Baptists and all these other religions, and they become indoctrinated, and so they reject God with the indoctrination things.
Amen. Well, they don't know any better. They don't know any better. And we train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he won't depart from it. Friends, we give him 12 years of education, Sunday school, an hour, maybe an hour and a half on Sunday, teach him about Noah's Ark and the rainbow. We don't equip him at all for the spiritual war that that is raging around us. And because we don't equip them for the spiritual war raging around us, and Randy, the power and authority given to us as believers, the easiest thing is say, we're just going to survive and then we'll be out of here. You don't have to be salt. No, you don't have to be salt. Be sugar. Just love them all. Just love them. What a misrepresentation of the gospel.
Hey, Coach. Will Spencer please pull up Psalms 127, verse 3? As children are in the hands of a warrior, so are children in one's youth. Coach, we don't understand this. First off, it didn't say Christian children. It just said children. So your children are either your arrows for God or they're arrows for the enemy.
Amen, brother. By the way, the fruit of the womb is God's reward. Huh? The fruit of the womb is his reward. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb's his, baby. Lord, help us. Jeff.
2:15 today, downtown Mount Vernon, Main Street. Vernon.
Say it again. What time?
2:15 this afternoon, Main Street, Mount Vernon, Bernie Marino, Donald Trump Jr. There are going to be massive people down there. They're blocking the whole street off down there. I'm going down to raise some cane today.
Where are they going to be, Jeff? Where are they going to be?
The middle intersection at Mount Vernon, that old first.
Are they going to be inside or outside?
Both. They said there's 600 people got tickets to come down there today. That bank will only hold about 50 people, 60. Yeah. It's going to be something. So
there'll be probably a rally on the square, right? Is that what you're saying?
Right in the middle of Main Street at the middle traffic light. That's where that bank's at.
Yeah. Okay.
The whole downtown Mount Vernon is going to be full of people, the whole Main Street.
Amen. All right, Jeff, thanks. Look, let's see. I got about 5 emails. Say, Coach, would you come and speak to our youth group? Hell yeah. But your pastor isn't going to let me. I'm not going to let me. Can I tell you why? Because when that spirit of truth gets in those kids will never be the same, and he'll get uncomfortable. That's what I think. Wow. Anybody else? I could go into something else. I'm not.
Well, Coach, if you want to say exactly what you said, if you go back to the first Great Awakening, you know the first ones were woke? Was the children, was the youth. Come on, get out there and get these young people because they'll get fired up for it.
They're heritage of the Lord, brother. Huh? They're the ones. They're the one. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. And we have the most untrained Christian children in the history of Christianity right now. Those kids, look, friends, you know that in that class, there were some Christians. You know there were. Churchgoers. They couldn't give you any of the Ten Commandments. Oh, shall not steal. Christian kids. And
I'll make it quick. Thank you so much, Coach. There's a way to do this where you can hold the people accountable at your local level. If you notice your school board to cease and desist, and they don't do what you're telling them to do. It has to be safe. It has to be constitutionally sound. It has to be ethical. You tell them to cease and desist 1, 2, 3. Give them notice. And they have 10 days to respond. If they don't rebut it, then an unrebutted affidavit stands as truth. You can now
I send them an affidavit telling them to cease and desist from teaching evolution as fact.
Correct. Yes, exactly. And the more scripture you use, the stronger it is, because biblical law, God's law, that's what we are to be under right now. We're one country under God. So you send them public notice to cease and desist, and you can use the affidavit. I've been to the school boards. I've tried this. I've tried that. That's your affidavit. That's your story. That's your truth. After 10 days, if they have not corrected their errors, because they all work for us, all of them, they work for us. And you can send that to your state military, your National Guard. Send it to the commander, National Guard, the JAG office, Judge Advocate General for action.
So let me stop. And where do people find this information?
Well, I teach.
Is there a website? Is there a website? Is there someplace they can go?
Yes. American.
I can't write fast to keep up with you.
AmericanCivicsEducation.org is where you can start learning the common law, and what we, the people, need to do to stand up.
So I forgot it already. American Civics
Education.
AmericanCivicsEducation.org. We got to run. See you tomorrow.